going to skip a drop until Siv Vav on page Kuf Tez Zayin. It's important for me to remind you, Bechlal, my tachlis every summer here in this particular shiur is not really, it's not a hashkafa shiur or a machshava shiur. The tachlis of these shiurim are simply for ischazkus, although it's not simple. Most of the year we desperately are in need of ischazkus, and especially it's hard for the women to get to shiurim regularly. In the summer there's a little bit more yeshiva das, there's a little bit more time, and all of you have certainly as much or more ability than me to look in svarim and to gain more insight and machshav and so on. But the ikar is, before Mashiach comes, is nidbu ish al yireyu. The ikar is that people should be mechazik each other, and I believe very strongly in that. And that's why in these particular sichas there's a great deal of hischazkus. But when there is hischazkus, part of the nature of hischazkus is that there's repetition. Chizik requires repetition. That's how you mechazik something. You know that if we tell our children something once or twice, they don't get it. The same way that when the Baruch Shalom tells his children something once or twice, we don't get it. His chaskus needs constant repetition, and that's why it's important. It's so important to go over these in Yonim, and we can move fairly quickly through certain places where the tzaddik is repeating something for the point of chizik, but not Chas Hashem to lose his chaskus. So on page Kuf Tes Zayin, Ois Vav. And he's going to be, as you'll be seeing, moving into the Lamaise. I don't know if we'll maybe get to the end tonight, at the end tonight, next week, to the Lamaise of how to begin to work on the Inyan that we've been talking about practically. Once he's clearly established the problem, that to work on practical ways of curing the inyan. Ritzayin avinu shebeshamayim shenishtadal tamid le'esalus b'zeh. Kama b'chol inyan yavadis Hashem esbarach v'nizkor keseda v'nachza keseda yosef yosef shaylam hazeh dam le'praizder. It's something the Rebbe says here that we have to constantly think about and constantly review, that this world is just a means of getting to the next world. U'banu kan l'shlichus atzum v'choshuv, and we were sent into this world, the most important and crucial shlichus. V'kol yemu shlichus b'fnei atzma, v'kol dover b'sumei rav aseitav. Every single time in life, when we're confronted with the possibility of being over an aveira and we hold back, a person feels like saying lashon hara, a person feels like reacting the wrong way or doing the wrong thing. At that moment, at that particular moment, that shlichus, that special shlichus is revealed in the way of sumeira, that you have to hold back. And then when that moment comes up when you have the ability to do something and you don't feel like doing it, the shlichus is, of course, asei toiv, to do this thing. Every single day of our lives, it's filled with Torah, that's filled with davening, that's filled with working on midas and purifying ourselves. Each person, according to his level, is rechush otzum, is the most remarkable, the most precious thing that we could gain. And meshik derev grace apekloch in him. And every single time we are strengthening ourselves in sur meira, not to do something wrong, and asay toiv, to do the right thing, we're sending packages to Shemayim. Meshik derev grace apekloch, great packages in Himmel. Nacha pekloch, nacha pekloch. Everybody's always talking about pekloch in a bad way, right? Everybody's schlepping his pekloch. Here he's talking about in a good way. Meshik derev in Himmel, we're sending to Shemayim every single good word that you say to a Jew, to our own children, every mitzvah, every act of chesed, every sur meira is sending another pekloch to Himmel, another package to heaven. Nacha pekloch. And the older we get, as we grow older, the Baruch Hu wants us to think about this more and to live with this reality. Like everything in serving Hashem, Hashem wants us to be Maisif Aharlech as we grow older, that we should add more and add more, even though the nature, and you're talking about getting older, Not that it's happening to any of us, but we just talk about it. But the nature of a person, very often we think back to our younger years, different age people here, but to the younger years, when we think about the excitement of, you know, maybe at earlier times in life, and the nature, certainly in the secular world, the way that the world looks at a person is, as he gets older, as she gets older, so the excitement begins to wane, and the exuberance, chalila, diminishes. But the whole Seder of Avodas Hashem is to be Maisif HaHarlich, to add and to add and to constantly more in Avodas Hashem. We could move to Kuf Yud Zayin. See, Chazal is over a little bit, where it says V'yadua, the next page, the first paragraph. V'yadua HaMaisid is a famous story. Like many stories, the Chassidim say the story and the Misnagdim say the same story from their Tzaddik. It's not a contradiction. It was by both. It was Tzaddikim from both. That it happened to. V'yadua HaMaisid, now everybody here knows this Maisid since we're children. But the way he says it in the Musa Haskell is so sweet. There's a Maisa from the Zitra Magid, Shesipra Tzanzarov, that the Tzanzarov had said over. But most of us know this story from the Chofetz Chaim. That's how we were taught. But it's by both Tzaddikim. It's a famous Maisa that a Jew came to either the Magid's house or the Chofetz Chaim's house. So let's say the way that we're used to hearing it from the time that we're kids with the Chofetz Chaim. He came to the Chofetz Chaim's house, everybody knows, and the Chofetz Chaim lived in unbelievable, I don't know if it was poverty, but very, very, very simple. It was a whole thing by the Chofetz Chaim that his wife, the Rebbetzin, wanted to buy a curtain, and it was a whole thing with the Chofetz Chaim, with the curtains. He lived very, very simply, very poorly. This Choshev Yid that came to the Chofetz Chaim's house saw how the Chofetz Chaim was living, and he began to cry. The Chofetz Chaim was, why are you crying? The Choshev Yid said it hurts him to see the suffering of a Talmud Chacham, but a Talmud Chacham is that a Talmud Chacham lives this way. Can you imagine nowadays if it would be if someone didn't have two sinks, so it'd be like, you know, or two dishwashers. How could you see the tzar of a Talmud Chacham? But we can't even imagine how the Chofetz Chaim lived, the pashtus, how the Chofetz Chaim lived. You know, when you go in Yerushalayim and you go into one of those little cracks in Yerushalayim, and you go into one of those little, up those rickety stairs that go up to these places, and you can't even believe that there's a human being that lives in one of these deiris, and you go in there. That's a little bit of a time. That's already probably would have been luxurious in Radin. Would have been luxurious. Running water. But a little bit of a taste we get in those divas in Yerushalayim. So this person is crying. He couldn't stand to see the tsar of a Talmud Chacham, the suffering of Talmid Chachamim. So Chofetz Chaim Magid asked, what do you mean? And what do you have? What do you have? So the Choshev person said, well, I have a table, the kisos, and I have chairs, and I have eating utensils. The Magid of the Chofetz Chaim asked, Uma'oid, and tell me, what else do you have by you? He began to say, I have such and such amount of rooms on page Kuf Yud Zayin. The right hand side, I have these amount of rooms, and I have closets, ubegodim, and clothing, v'shuv shalom ma'oid, and Chofetz Chaim asked him, what else do you have? Upirate oid dvarim v'oid dvarim. So he began to go into other things that he has. Svarim v'kelim shaynim, different things. V'chein hoye kamapam, ulubesoif sh'olei ha'magid, you can go down to the Hebrew, nudalad, let's read it in the Hebrew together. V'heichen heim kol ha'dvarim ha'ela. So Chofetz Chaim asked, and where are all these things that you just told me about? Ani harei lo yireh kan shum dover. Chofetz Chaim said, I don't see any of the things that you're talking about. All these rooms and kelim and books and who knows what. I don't see any of these things. Va'ano ha'yehudi, and the Jew answered the Chofetz Chaim, mazlei semer, so he called the Ramei, l'nitzam b'bayishuli. What's a kasha? All of these things are in my house. Akshav, and he erect b'emtza ha'derech. I'm sure you remember the Maisa. I'm not at home, I'm only in the derech. I'm on my way. I'm on a trip. Then the tzaddik lifted up his holy eyes and said, "Babayishili, babayishili." He started to scream, "In my house, in my house." In my house, I have many more beautiful things. And in my house, Chavos Chaim says, you feel bad for me. Mrs. Shemagi says, you're feeling bad for me because you came to this little dinky place, right? And you look around, you don't see anything. And you tell me what you have in your house. Chavos Chaim says, in my house, I have many, many more precious things. And he nimtza ka'eis. Gam came to Emsa Hadarach. But you're asking me, where are they? I'm Emsa Hadarach. I'm not in my house. This is not my house. This world is not my house. The Kamash Chaim Mzes, Rav Tzvi Meir explains that the more a Jew lives with this reality that this is not my house, I am paying the mortgage, and I've worked so hard to make it nice and so on. This is not our house. That's going to be the hardest thing. I always think about that. You know, when Mashiach comes, even though it's true that the Baditshev has said that in a Jewish home where there's Kedush and Tahara, in a Jewish home where there's no televisions and there's no Tumah and things like that, so Baditshev has said that those homes are also going to be taken to Eretz Yisrael, not just the shuls. Baditshev has said even the homes will be taken to Eretz Yisrael. So I was thinking, how's it going to be? You know, all the karkas that are put into the house and to make everything match, and then it's going to be when Mashiach comes. It's going to be taka, you know, for us to go to a dira, and we're going to say like, where's the garage? It's going to be a joke. Like, what do you mean a garage? Who has? All right, in Yerushalayim, some people put in a klat and they try to work out, you know, the way to put stuff. Everybody's going to be waiting for a garage and for this and for that. But Mashiach's going to say to us, "Zalei habayish alechem." What you had over there in all your places, whether in Brooklyn or in the five towns or anywhere where Jews are living in this galus, that's not your house. That wasn't your house. So he says, This is the machshava we're talking about, that a person has to think that mamish b'emsa haderech, in the middle of the, we're on the way. Him kol dover shanachnu zeichem, we're in the footnote on page Kuf Yud Zayin. Him kol dover shanachnu zeichem lasas bro keisis v'tzayin Hashem esbroch. Any time in this world that we're in now, which is the derech, that we're zeichet to do something that is Hashem's will, we're zeichet to something of Ratzon Hashem, or to stay away from something that Hashem wants us to stay away from. We can't see with our eyes. That's what makes it so difficult. But we're zeichet to acquire. When the Chofetz Chaim said, "In my house, I have many precious things. In my house, I have many good things." And how many of us can say that? We could point to that. We can point to our homes, Baruch Hashem, and we could say, "Look, in this home, I have many good things." Just like that, Chosheb Yid was saying to the Chofetz Chaim, "I have many good things." The Chofetz Chaim said, "This is not what I'm talking about. This is about derech. But in my home, every single davening that the Chofetz Chaim, every single chesed, every single word of Torah." Those are the ways that we furnish those homes. Those things that are going to be waiting for us, in our real homes, in our real house. And how much more so, Tzimai explains, when a person really, really has to work hard for something, for his mitzvahs and masim tovim. Kol seydeli mitayra. For some people, it comes easier. For others, it's more difficult to sit down. He's talking obviously to the boys to sit down to learn a proper seder in this medrash. Kol tefila. Any time davening, especially for those people for whom davening comes very hard, to say one capital tehillim is so hard. Kol is apkus. Then there are some people for whom to stay away from averus is very easy, and there are other people who have more of a fiery nature, and it's so hard. Kol mila tayva l'sheni. Anytime that a Jew says a good word to another Jew. Anytime he says a good word to another Jew. I was talking on Shabbos to the Mishpacha that I saw from a tzaddik that he said such a merdeka thing. In this past parasha, we're talking about nedarim. Right? Matas masa, the hard parashas. We're talking about matas, a person says something. What does it mean when a person says something? That's what the whole parasha is about. What's a neder? Sof, when we come into Yom Kippur, we come with Kol Nidre. So we need to understand a little bit how important it is, what we say is so important and so precious. So So I saw that a tzaddik brought from Kedushas Levi and Tver Shoyim of Shalom Levadamsky, the tzaddikim also. We want so badly for our tefillahs to be answered. We hear that somebody is not well, we want to help. We want someone to have panos. We need for ourselves. We need for Jews, we need for the whole world. So we want our tefillahs to be answered. So why is it that tzaddik, where does the tzaddik have such a koyach with his tefillahs? Like, where do you get that? Alright, it's not so posh, you have to be a tzaddik. But the tzaddikim, Rabbi Ditschewa said, and it says in the parasha, that Hashem's Baruch said to Moshe Rabbeinu, speak al Roi Shematas with Nesa, to speak to the leaders of the tribes of the Jewish people, and tell them what? That when a person says something, lo yachal devaro, he should keep what he says, it shouldn't come out that he doesn't keep it, right? That's a neder. Kechol ha-yotzim epiv yasa, whatever comes out from his mouth, whatever person says he's going to do, yasa, he should do. So listen to how B'ditchva tights it up with the Tver Shalom also, Radomsky, the two of them. Listen to how he says. He says, who are the Rosh Matas Levnesel? Who are the leaders of the tribes of the Jewish people? He says, Matos, which literally of course means a staff or a tribe. Matos, he says, means who are those Jews who are able to turn around Jewish hearts? Those Jews who are able, Lahatos, as you know, means to incline, to cause something to lean. He says, there are those Jews who are the ones who have the power to help Jewish hearts incline, turn back towards Hashem. Those Jews are called the Roshei HaMatos, the leaders of inclining Jewish hearts, of moving Jewish hearts. He says, those people, those tzaddikim, lo yachal devaroi, lo yachal devaro, every word that they say, the B'ditchva says, every word that these tzaddikim daven for, whatever they say, Hashem does. Because Hashem loves when Jews say good things to other Jews to turn their hearts towards Him. And to give another Jew chizik, to make shalom between Jews. When you see two people having an argument, and you become a roish hamatais, which means what? You try to crutch that this Jewish heart shall lean back towards another Jewish heart. So then the Baruch Shalom says, "Oy, these people, when these kind of Jews daven, then the Baruch Shalom says, I'm going to answer these people. Everything that they say, that's why the B'ditchva's tefillahs is so amazing. That's why everything the B'ditchva said was like Nisim and the Flois, because of the Ahavis Yisrael, the Ikkas, the Ahavis Yisrael. Kol mila toiva l'sheini, he's saying. Anytime a Jew says a good word to another Jew, anytime you say good, and by the way, in that Torah, the Tver Shalom says, and the Tzaddikim explain, that when it comes to Dibur, speaking, it's not, we're not only talking about Lashon Hara Rechilis, or God forbid, Nivel Peh, you know, using inappropriate language. It means, he said, Tver Shalom and Tzaddikim say that sometimes you have a person that he doesn't say any Lashon Hara, doesn't say any Rechilis, but when people talk to him, or talk to him, they walk away feeling bad about themselves. They lose a little bit of their self esteem. Sometimes you have teachers like that, where you can have boys come or girls come to a class, and the whole reason that the Baruch Shalom sent those children into that class was that the teachers make them feel better about themselves, to feel that they want to be better Jews, and it could be that the teacher didn't say any lashon hara, didn't say any nivel peh chas v'shalom. They're all from people, but you have kids that walk out feeling bad about themselves, feeling lower. David Melch spoke about such people who have tongues that are like swords, right? That even though they don't, even though there's no avair in what they're saying, but the tongue is a tongue that's hurting people. It hurts people, and therefore the tzaddik said that when a Jew is when he's such a kind of a person where he's so careful not to hurt other people, so then liachal dvar kichala yaitzim bepiv yaseh, then his words when he davens, the Baruch Shalom loves the davening of that Jew. Because that's a Jew who's so careful with his dibur. So when he davens, the Baruch Shalom says, "Oh, I want to hear what this one has to say." Whatever he asks for, Hashem is ready to give. That's how tefillahs can be answered. So he says, "Kol mila toiva l'sheini." That's on page, we're on page Kuf Yud Zayin in the footnote. Any good word, zeichem lahochem zedvarim yofim in his govim shiamtinu lano b'vayis shalano. Those are the words that the Chabad Chaim was talking about. Those are the words that are going to be waiting in the house, in the real bayis, in the real house that's waiting for each and every one of us. And when we remember this, as I call our entire lives become lifted up, we live a different life. And we have an entirely different way of looking at things, an entirely different way of looking at life. He continues on the left-hand column, on the left-hand side. Eivul shehem hepech mitzadikim. You see the left-hand side on page Kuf Yud Zayin. That's where it continues in Hebrew. Just for two lines, and it's back to Yiddish. Eilu shehem hepech mitzadikim. Listen, how you see how careful he is with his speech. He didn't say the rishayim. Do you see that? This is transcribing what he said. Shalashudis. He doesn't say rishayim. He says eilu shehem hepech mitzadikim. He says those Jews who are the opposite of the tzadikim. If you would meet him, you'd know this, the person who gave, he's the sweetest, sweetest Jew you ever met in your whole life. He's like dripping with sugar. So he can't even say. He says, Eilashem hippuch mit tzaddikim, those Jews who are the opposite of tzaddikim. Oymim lana chazal, shafilu b'chayem kruyim mesim. What do chazal say about the Rishayim, about the wicked? That even their lives, even when they're alive, they're not alive. So you can imagine, this person, this Rosha, thinks that he has a mansion. This Rosha thinks that he has everything, that he has the most elaborate, the most decorated, the most magnificent home. And if you ask this Rosha, what do you have? When you read in the newspapers, you hear about these Rishayim, the Rosha's two sons of Baruch Hashem were killed last week. The way that these people were living, the way that these Rishayim were living, soon they're going to get their father soon. The way that these Rishayim were living, the whole country that tortured, the whole country was in poverty, and the Rishoyim b'chayim, Chazal say kruyim meisim. It looks like they have everything, because when Chazal said they're called dead, so a lot of people think halavai of migazuk, right? Halavai, I should be as dead as these people. Chas v'sholom, because what they have elaborate, magnificent homes in this world. But like the Chofetz Chaim said, Habayis Shali, my house is more beautiful, has the most beautiful things in it. That's the homes that we're building for ourselves, Baruch Hashem. So he says, the Rishoyim, I feel b'chaim kruyim mason. Now why are they called dead even during their lives? Because Sheshoichim, let's look back now into the Hebrew Nun Hay on the bottom. I'm sorry for that. He told me that there are certain things he wanted very much that it should stay in the Yiddish, but he understands there are people that need to see it in Hebrew. So Nun Hay says, because what happened, why the Rishoyim called dead even while they're alive? Because they have forgotten Mazah HaChayim. What is it? What is life? So what does it mean? So he's physically alive. But they have forgotten Mazah HaChayim. Mazah HaChayim HaMiti. And what is true life? Kishi Yehudi Kamba Boyku Ha'aymer Elokayin Nishar Malishin Asatabi Tahirihi. Every one of us this morning said, Rabbi Yisholm, the Nishama that you gave me is pure. Yeshli Harei Nishama. I have a neshama. Neshama in the Kiyat Tahir Kadesh every morning. No matter what happened the day before, today, tomorrow morning, I'm going to get up. It's going to be a perfectly brand new, clean neshama. She's chananu lefanah, achzireyu b'tahara. Azayah, ani harei tzarech lizkirizah. And Rabbi Shalom, we ourselves want desperately to be able to send this neshama back to you at night, that it should be pure the way that it came. And we should be able to send it back to you after 120, pure the way that you sent it to us. And the neshama herself is begging us to do that. And the Baruch Shalom wants us to, you want us to return this neshama to you in a pure way, the way you sent it to us. Azayah ani harei tzarech lizkirizah. I have to remember this. That you're going to take this neshama from me one day. Or tonight, kol zman shel neshama bekirbi, as long as the neshama is within me. In other words, what are we davening for every day? Help me remember this throughout the entire day. Kol zman shel neshama bekirbi. Help me, during the day the neshama is with me. Help me remember this. Kol zman shel neshama bekirbi. Why you sent the neshama to me? Why did you give me back my life today? What's the tachlis of my being in this world? Have a nizkir zeh, zeh nikra lichyos. That's called being alive. That's what it means. That's what it means to be alive. And I was thinking a little bit before, I know it's a little bit early to be thinking about Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, but when it starts getting ready to Rosh Chodesh Av, so I start to think about these things, and it's an amazing thing. When you look in the davening of Rosh Hashanah, not to make Yom Kippur is a different thing, Rosh Hashanah. When you look in the davening of Rosh Hashanah, in the davening as it was established by the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, the original davening of Rosh Hashanah, much of the davening of Rosh Hashanah is not from the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah, it was added on later on by the Gaonim, and then later on, as you know, by the Rishonim. The Svadim Chalal is different. The Svadim is altogether different. Because much of the davening was added on over the generations. But I'm talking about the davening Tzman Shei Knesset Gadol. You want to look at the davening Tzman Shei Knesset Gadol Rosh Hashanah, look at Shemoneh Esrei. Shemoneh Esrei, what we daven Rosh Hashanah Shemoneh Esrei, that was Tzman Shei Knesset Gadol. That was established. Almost everything else of the davening Rosh Hashanah was later on. In the whole davening, in its original form that was established by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, there's no mention of judgment, of din. There's no asking Hashem for health, for children, for panasa, garnished. In the davening that we have from the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, what is there? Malchus, that's all. This similar chata shamakein levedach, right? V'chein yiskadish shimcha shamakeinu, b'ayin shalom v'chein yiskadish hamelech, hamelech yiskadish, this similar chata shamakein levedach, v'yeda kol yitzur ki'at yitzati, v'kol kol pul ki'at pe'alto. Everything in the world should know that you're b'ayin shalom, and everything should know that it's because of you that they were able to live. And so, there's not one thing to get anybody nervous about. There's no din. Not only that, there's no requests for anything. No Avinu Malkeinus. There's no Zachrein L'chaim. Zachrein L'chaim Melchabes V'chaim, that was added on by the Gaonim. That's not from the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. Zachrein L'chaim Melchabes V'chaim is not from the Anshei Knesset Gedolah. It was added on later. So it's odd, isn't it? Because we always associate Rosh Hashanah as Yom HaDin. Hine Yom HaDin. So what's going on? The emphasis is that there's a lot to talk about in that Indian, but the Nakuda here, as it applies to what we're saying, I believe, is that when a person comes to Rosh Hashanah, it's like you're coming into a new world, a different world. It's when you're being welcomed into the palace of the king, it's a higher world, it's a different world. The emphasis is that the whole year we're overwhelmed with our worries. Worries about panosa, worries about children, worries about health, and so on and so forth. Who doesn't have worries about aveiros? The whole time you worry. We're worried about these things. We have these things in our mind. But there's such an inyan that when a person comes into the palace, when a person comes into Malchus, for a moment, it doesn't last that long, but for a moment, like, you forget the whole thing. You forget all the little things, all the things that hurt you, that are worrying you. And Rosh Hashanah, a person becomes lifted up, mamish, to another place. And in that place, he knows that the only thing that counts is v'chein yiskadish Hashem Elokeinu. Shimcha Hashem Elokeinu. Is what is the Baruch Shalom? Is you. Is Malchus Hashem. Is Gilui Kvod Shemayim. V'yeda kol yitzur ki'at yitzat. V'yeda kol pul ki'at pa'alta. The rest of the time we're not in that place. But when a person comes to that place in Rosh Hashanah, when he comes into the pnimius of who he is, then it's like there was a maaser from a certain chassid. I don't remember which chassid from which rebbe it was, but there was a chassid that had something that there was a he had terrible tzaros in the house. Something happened, and he ran to the shul. And he like they used to do the old Jews, you know, he opened up the Aron Kodesh and he put his head in. Now they all have to be locked now, but he put his head into the Aron Kodesh. And he started to say Tillim. And he knew the whole Tillim by heart this year. Can you imagine? And he sang Tillim, crying for something with one of his children. And then when he came to Tzom Lachanavshi, the Pasuk Tzom Lachanavshi, Kamal Chabasari, Hashem, my soul is longing for you. So he started to repeat it, he started to sing it. He forgot the whole thing, Bechlal. He forgot about his house, he forgot about his wife, he forgot about his kids, he forgot about everything. So he said, that's not so good. He was standing there for an hour, repeating the puzzle. He was mamish dancing. He was in a different place. And then they came and they told him that he's better. He had a Yeshua. Can you imagine? When he forgot about himself, that's when he had the Yeshua. We don't think like that. Halavai, we should be able to say a few kapitel tehillim sincerely, right? When that Jew forgot about himself, because once he started saying Tzomach Hanavshi, it took him someplace else. He was like Rosh Hashanah Dik. And when he came to that place of Tzomel Hanavshi, Kamel HaBasari, so then he forgot, and he was only in that place of a similar Chat Hashem, Elokain Nisham Shasati Pitahari, what's important in my life? What means anything in my life? Sof Kol Sof, and I saw something that none of us could relate to, but we should hear it. Maybe I mentioned this list, I don't know, I think I mentioned the list the week, but I'm just chazuring it, that somebody went into Rabbi Yankel from Antwerp and said to him, and said, this yid came in Nebuch with all kinds of tzars, and so Rabbi Yankel Shmantorp said to him, all right, so what? Okay. So he said, what do you mean, Rabbi, so what? So the Rabbi Yankel from Antwerp said, so what means, what are you making such a big deal? The whole, he says, so what? So anyway, we're all going to die. What's the big deal? The whole world's not so like that. Like you're getting, in other words, he said that you're getting too worked up over this whole business. You're getting too worked. Ah, that's something beyond, that's totally beyond us. We can't live like that. But you hear that chosid had a Yeshua when he forgot about himself. And I believe that maybe that's how we have a Yeshua in Rosh Hashanah. Maybe our Yeshua in Rosh Hashanah is that you come to Rosh Hashanah, you hear the Yiskadal, Yiskadal, you hear the Nusach, and you come to Malchus Hashem and everything is right. And you start to think about higher things and you become like caught up in Malchus Hashem. And you remember, Rabbi Hashem, why do you send this to the world? What's the tachas of being this world? You start to forget a little bit. Even on our madrig, even though we're nothing. Even on our madrig, you could forget a little bit about, if you have a good baltfil especially, right? You could forget a little bit about, like, what's the whole Indian like? You could forget a little bit. And maybe from there comes the Yeshua. And on Rosh Hashanah, there's not so much screaming, give us this and give us this, give us that. Maybe on Rosh Hashanah, when a Jew comes to that place, maybe he has a Yeshua. He has a Yeshua. Because when a person remembers that this is not his house, this is not it, there's something else. There's a V'chein Tein Pachtacho. There's a V'chein Hashem L'keinu. There's Simcha L'atzecha, V'sosin L'yurech, it's Ma'am De'Vevelt. That's the tachlis of our lives. And if you think about it, and the whole second half of this Sikha, which we're going to be spending the next few weeks talking about, is how this way of living gives a person the greatest simcha imaginable. There's nothing to give a person more simcha, because we think this sounds pretty depressing. You want me to forget about stuff? You want me not to think so much about this world? If I can't, it's this world that's getting us all depressed. It's this world that's getting us all worked up. The Chavetz Chaim who lived in that little tiny place, and that Jew walked in and started crying to the Chavetz Chaim's house. The Chavetz Chaim was always happy. The Chavetz Chaim lived with simcha. Because our simcha, because as long as our lives are depending upon decorating our homes, and I don't just mean the physical homes, I mean decorating this world and all that's in this world. That means even the daigus when it comes to things that are more important than just hanging up a curtain, more important. But the daigus of this world, that takes away from us our ability to have a real simcha. That's why really Rosh Hashanah Pnimius is such a simcha. There's no happier day than Rosh Hashanah. In Chabad, they call it the coronatia. The first night of Rosh Hashanah is called the coronation. The coronatia. The coronation of the king. Givaldi, you know, I was Baruch Hashem in Uman. I was never Zeichet in Rosh Hashanah Uman because I work in Rosh Hashanah. So by the time I thought I should go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah, that's when I had to already be in Shul Rosh Hashanah. But I would love to go. But you know what they do Rosh Hashanah in Uman? I know many, many Jews, and I always ask them when they come back, tell me what you saw. And I'm good friends with the Baltfil Ludavins Rosh Hashanah Uman. So Uman, when they say Hamelach, anybody that's there the first time doesn't know that this happens, gets blown away. When the Baltfil says by Shachris, Hamelach, thousands of people start to clap and cheer, woo, like at a ball game. They start clapping. They start cheering, Hamelach! Everybody starts to clap and to cheer, Hamelach! It's gevaldig simcha. To be Mamluch Hashem, it takes away all of the small things that are making us sugar, that are bringing us down, that are causing us to be depressed, causing us to be sad. Because like the holy vision is said, it says Allah kol Hashem Alkeinu Anachnu Moedim Lach. We say in benching, right? Allah kol Hashem Alkeinu Anachnu. So the vision is said. In other words, the simple chat is we thank you Hashem for everything that you gave us. That's what it means. Allah kol Hashem Alkeinu Anachnu. We're benching. We say thank you Hashem for everything you gave us. The vision is said. Nay, the real type of Allah kol is Allah kol. More than anything in the world, Hashem Elokeinu, because Hashem, you're our God, Anu Moedim Lach. That's what we thank you for. You hear how Tzadik looks at the same words? Va'al HaKol, more than anything that you've given us in our lives, Hashem Elokeinu, because you're our God, Anu Moedim Lach. For that we thank you. And when a person tries to live with that machshava during the day, Va'al HaKol Hashem Elokeinu, Anu Moedim Lach. It's a different life. It's a life that's filled with simcha. Tzadikim, now let's go back on top, the last three sentences of that paragraph, which says the word tzadikim, right before the Zayin. Tzadikim kruin chayim. That's what the tzadikim are called alive. Because they, because what? Because they're living with a real, with a real place. They're living in reality. They're living with the bias. And that's why I always tell the guys in shul, you know, I always see my chevra beginning when it comes to like the end of, when it comes to the end of Pesach, especially when it comes to the end of, when it comes to the Nilus of Chag, you know, the end of Shmi, etc. Like I see now, all the guys are starting to get down. You know, they're getting down. So there's always, like someone says, Rebbe, what can we do this? Like, Rebbe, you know, tomorrow, it's, you know, it's, when it comes out that it's like an Arab Shabbos, they're okay. You know, they could pull out. But when it comes out, like the next day is Monday. Right? See, here, after a whole Shmi Kippur, and they have the whole Sukkot, and Shmi Yetzer Simchas Torah, then, you know what each one is thinking about, Nilus of Chag, where am I going to be? Like, you know, 12 hours from now, whatever it is, I'm going to be like, you know, arguing with some idiot about how much money I owe him or he owes me, right? That's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow morning. So I see the chevra, mamish, like every minute as Simchas Torah is ending, like I see the chevra like sinking. Mamish sinking. So there's always this lotion, and I talk to him about it every Nilus Chag. But Rabbi, what's going to be the guy? I say, Rabbi, tomorrow, like, you know, tomorrow's real life. Tomorrow's back to reality. I say, that's the mistake you're making. That's not reality. This is reality. The chaverim sitting together and singing songs in the Yom Lerayim. That's to sing Ein Kitzur L'Shnesecha, Ein Kitzur L'Shnesecha. This is the reality of a Jew. When you add it up, it's much fewer moments in life that we're singing Ein Kitzur and we're having Nils Chag sitting together and singing them those minutes. Yeah, and it's hard. I'm at a Shabbos and more of a Malka. But Al Kol Panim, a person lives with this machshava. That's what he says, that tzaddikim are called alive, kuim chayim, because they're always attached to this machshava of what the Chofetz Chaim said. My house, I have a house. I have very good things in my house, and that's the what does it mean? What's the tachlis of being in this world? Ben Ish Chai. A tzaddik is called a Ben Ish Chai. The Amach Kulam Tzaddikim, all Jews have the ability to live this way. Yed the Yid Hadakarach. So what? Gedenken Keseda, to remember this Keseda. Let's turn the page. Kuf Yud Ches. Quickly, I'm talking too much. And this is a whole new way of learning the parashiyos of Bereishis, the parashiyos of our fathers and mothers, of the others and imahos. You know, it's very important, and again, I talk to the Chevra and Shul about this all the time, that not to just open up a chumash and to learn the mefarshim and to think of, and just to read it like in an abstract way. These are our others, these are our imahos. We have to feel each year when we start the parashiyos, we have to feel each year closeness to Avraham Avinu. And we have to feel Avraham Avinu talking to us. And Avraham Avinu is mamish, and so we remain, these are our parents, and to hear what they're telling us, and to feel this closeness to them, and the schus of having such grandparents, and to understand what they're teaching us. So look at a whole different way of how to understand the parashiyos of Bereishis. He says, one of the most remarkable things, kaiches, that our avos implanted within us, and they gave each and every Jew, who is chazik b'zayin, to be mechazik ourselves in this inyan, v'lizka k'seida shanachnu shlichim, to remember what? To remember all the time that we're messengers, v'shekol in yoni ha'ilam ha'zehem aroi, and all the things of this world are temporary, v'tofel and secondary, v'lichesim, and to live with this thought. V'echad me'habit tzadikim, I'm sorry, the Eastern habits of many tzaddikim have taught. Shizachim in Yonah Magdalim Shnechlo Ba'atzivai Rishon Shavin Shubishmaim Hei Avraham Avinu. We spoke about this at the very beginning. That's why the first thing that the Baruch Shalom ever said to Avraham Avinu was what? Lech Lecha Mi'atzuchim V'laduchim Beis Avicha. Go away from your home. Go away from your country, from your father's house. What? Shiyagish Kesedish Sha'arit Shanachman Nitzayim. But this means that Hashem is Baruch is telling you, go away. Go away from your obsession with your house. Go away from your obsession with this world. V'hamokim Shanachman Nitzayim. By Zemokim, I write to live with this thought that the place that you're living in is a temporary place. It was much easier for our ancestors because they were often chased from their places. But Hashem, we're able to settle in. And if we have to go, it's because we want to go. It's because we want to move to a bigger house. Our grandparents didn't always have the choice where they were living. But this thought of Lech Lecha, right? That's what Lech Lecha means. Avraham Avinu is telling us, each and every one of us, Avraham Avinu is saying, teaching everyone, listen, I want you to know something. I thought that I was living, I lived there for a long time. And I thought that was pretty much my way of life. But the Baruch Shem told me Lech Lecha. And Lech Lecha means this world is not everything. This is not your house. This is not your place. Because the Rosh wants us to remember that your house, your country, your father's home, your background, all of these things, that's not kavu, it's not forever. It's not set. Which is the ikr. What? He says, "Zech upzuraisim, to cut away, to break away from the hagosha, from this, to cut ourselves away from this feeling that what, that this is it, this is it." Via moisif adam b'zeisrach, because lech lecha. The Rosh Hashanah says, teaching every one of us, lech lecha. Now Avraham Avinu is saying, lech lecha. The Chazal HaKadoshim Dorshim was a Shimi Bas Rui, just like Hashem Baruch told Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu, that he heard Hashem Baruch talking to him and saying to him, listen, go away from your father's house. Shikhi Amechu Beis Avich, it says in Pasuk, you have to, in order to be a Jew, you have to forget your place, you have to forget your father's home. She Yizka Kaseidah, She Kol Masha Royim Kan Va'ilam Agash, Me HaKol HaRoy, that everything is temporary. V'yidu Me HaZoy HaKadosh, that Tzivi Shalech Lecha Oim Ravinu Shebashmayim, L'kol Nisham L'fnei Sheyari L'zahoyla. The Zohar Kodesh says that that mitzvah of Lech Lecha, the Baruch Shalom says to every neshama, the last thing Hashem says to the neshama, before he gives it like a little pat, the neshama doesn't want to go, before the Baruch Shalom throws the neshama into this world, the Baruch Shalom says, Lech Lecha mi'artzecha. That's the last thing the Baruch Shalom says to the neshama, before the neshama is sent into the body. Shezeh HaYisoid. Why? Because Hashem is saying, this is something that I want you. Hashem says to the Neshama, Tire in the Neshama, I want you to remember this, because you're going to take the world very seriously, but I want you to remember Lech Lecha Me'atzecha. Be on the move. It's a Lech Lecha. Your experience now, because Neshama is afraid to go. Neshama doesn't want to leave, because Neshama likes it over there. So the Baruch Shalom says, don't worry, what I'm sending you into, it's, if you're going to take it very seriously, if you're going to forget Lech Lecha, it's going to get you down. You're going to get depressed. It's going to seem like it's forever. It's going to seem like it's forever, and you're going to forget. But if you live with Lech Lecha, if you live with Lech Lecha, then you're going to know that it's not like Rabbi Yankala from Antwerp said, it's nothing to get so upset about. It's not such, don't make such a big deal about this world. It's nothing to get so worked up about. That's what he says. L'kol neshom l'fnei shi'or l'zarlim shezeh ha'yisayit. Which we have to always remember. So therefore, what do we see? Look at all the parashiyos of the office. And the Rebbe says like this, why are they always saying this? Isn't it true? Every second pasuk in Chumash, the office is saying, we're not really citizens over here. We're not really permanent dwellers. So again, when you learn, if you just learn it in the Chumash with the Pshat and the Mefarshim, we understand why is it that Avraham Avinu was saying such a thing? Why does Yitzchak even say these words? But now he's saying, really, what are the others telling you and me? Teachers have to say this to children. When you there are teachers here. When you teach children, I mean, we're all teachers. When you're teaching children, not just to teach them like there's this thing that happened thousands of years ago, that Avraham Avinu was like a ger v'soysher. We have to talk to our children, tell them and tell ourselves now, students, that this is what Avraham Avinu is teaching us. What? Ger v'soysher v'anoichi imochem. What does it mean? All the time, I mean, just gave us such. Listen, I'm a temporary dweller. Yemei shnei megurai, bimei megureim. All the lashonis in the Ovis, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, there it's megurei aviv. They lived. Shekol chayim kan hayba'ifin shel geris. What's a ger? A ger means I'm new, I'm a stranger, I'm not. It's not really my place, I don't feel comfortable here, this is not really me. So why are the others constantly saying this? They're constantly saying this because that's the tachlis of what they were giving over to us. Lech lecha. You gave him in the world. What the Chafetz Chaim said, and when the Chafetz Chaim said that, when they said that, they weren't saying like to say some fancy word, they think, hey, it's going to be really neat because years from now someone's going to say over this fancy word. Like, you know, that's not what they were thinking. The Chafetz Chaim said it in the way that he said everything, like, as simple and as sweet as a little child. The Chafetz Chaim said, I'm only in the Vega, I'm only in the Derech. This is not my house. I'm the Derech. And that's what the Ovis taught us. That the game, this is not it. I'm the Derech. I'm not really here. The He'iru l'onam ha'koyach hazer. That's what David HaMelech said. Now David HaMelech had every reason to feel comfortable in his house and to settle in. David HaMelech lived better than us. He lived very beautifully, David HaMelech. And he had every reason to say, okay, I'm staying. And when David HaMelech saw himself, he saw himself as a ger, as a stranger, as a passerby, as a passing through, we would laugh at that. We'd say, come on, David Malkeinu. What do you mean? Look at this place you have in Yerushalayim. It's pretty choshev. And Dor HaMelech said about himself, Ger Anoichi Baretz. That's what Chazal said, that the Baruch Shem gave the Obis a taste of Olam Haba. What does it mean to have a taste of Olam Haba? That's how the Chabbos Chaim live. That's what it means Shabbos is a taste of Olam Haba. It means that you live with that in this world, with that taste. When they lived in the world, Zorcha Kesedim Olam Haba. Zorcha Kesedim Olam Haba. They were constantly living with this thought of Olam Haba. They had this tam, this taste. The Yerulon is our koyach, and they gave us this koyach. The Chazal darshim zem apsukim b'kol mikol kol, and Chazal darshim from the apsukim b'kol mikol kol. Look in Samach down in the footnote. What we say in benching, the obvious is about Av Mitzvah and Yaakov b'kol mikol kol. So Av Mitzvah now, if you ask somebody, what would you say is about kol mikol kol? Everything about kol mikol kol, that a person we want our children to have everything, right? So if somebody asks you, what do you want for your children? You say, what don't I want for my children? I want everything about kol mikol kol, which we say in benching, avim yitzchak v'yakov, about kol mikol kol. Wow, what does that mean, about kol mikol kol? So zui ha, look in Samach in the footnote in Hebrew. Zui ha bracha ha-gedoyle b'yoyse. This is the greatest bracha, the yisuf bracha. Bakol mikol kol. I had a student of mine, maybe I once told this, I had a student of mine that when Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was very, very old, it was a short time before he was nifter, so this student of mine was at the Kaisel and Reb Shlomo Zalman was there, davening. So my student got all excited. This Aaron, he got all excited. Oi, Reb Shlomo Zalman. And he's a Sfaradi, so the first thing a Sfaradi thinks, bracha time, right? My Sfaradi, no chachmas, so you have to get a bracha. So, the problem is there's like 1,000 people standing up Shlomo Zalman, and Shlomo Zalman is leaning over, you know, to Brock, and like, and he's trying to get through and trying to get out, and everybody's walking. So finally this student of mine was able to get through like all the people, and he's waiting his whole life to get to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and he goes over to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and they're trying to push him away, and he goes over to his Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, a bracha, a bracha. He calls out, and Shlomo Zalman, he says, looks up and he says, Kol Tov. So my student called me up. He said, "Can you believe it? I finally got to Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, because you can never get to him in the house because everybody was protecting Reb Shlomo Zalman. And all I got from Reb Shlomo Zalman was Kol Tov." I said, "What are you crazy, Aaron? Kol Tov? It's Kabbalah, no? Kol Tov? That's the boy asking about Kol Mikol Kol. There's no bigger bracha in the world. Kol Tov." He says, "This is a bracha Gedolah B'Yosik." He said, "Kol HaKol, because Kol, what does it mean? Bakol Mikol Kol. You know what it means Bakol Mikol Kol." And kol to bakom kol kol means olam chatir bechayecha. It means that in your life you have everything. What's everything? There was an old song, and now I have everything because I know what everything's for. I have to try to remember that's from, but some of you might recall. Now I have everything because I know what everything's for, and that's true. That's true. That's a good line, because if you know what everything is for, then the emes is you have everything. So that's what he's saying. It says in Pasuk, Olam Chatir B'Checha, that you have a taste of Olam Haba. You see the next world in this world. Lichyas B'Tmidis Im Ha'emes Hazu, and you live with that truth. She'ikuhu Rak Meshach Zoichim L'Shloach Havilas Yofas Olam Elyon, that the truth is that to send Peklach to the other world. And Peklach again, Brochus and Sur Meirana Seitoi, another word of davening, another word of learning, another good word to a Jew. All of these are the peklach. Then a person has bakol mikol kol, because then you know what everything is for. And a person who has that has mamish everything, bakol mikol kol, bakol mikol kol. And you know, it's a famous maaseh that was told by the shamas of the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe of Yosef Yitzchak Susser Gedolin. You know that the Friedrich Lubavitcher was arrested like 100 times because he was teaching Yiddishkeit, but by the communists, it was terrible what he went through. The mysterious nefesh of the Friedrich Lubavitcher was something which is not from this world, and all the tzaddikim had unbelievable derech eretz from him. Imamish, he spent so many of his adult years in jail because of his mysterious nefesh for Jews. So one time, I don't remember the exact lashon, but this is pretty much it. So one time, the Russians are very big on interrogations, you know? They spent a lot of time and money on that stuff. So the KGB, that was their thing. It was interrogating people. So the Friedrich Rebbe was they took him, they threw him in jail, and they did whatever he suffered there in jail, and they took him out after not eating and not this, not that, they threw him horrible, they put him in the most horrible dungeon, and they took him out, and what happens? The prison guard, no, the KGB, whatever, put a gun to the Friedrich Rebbe's head, and the Friedrich Rebbe, the Shamus was there, and the Shamus was shaking and crying, and the prison, this KGB asks him, like, what did you, did you do this? And, you know, he's asking these lies. And Friedrich Rebbe says, I never did that. And he's standing there with a gun, and he pulls the trigger. He pulled the trigger. And the Friedrich Rebbe didn't even flinch. Didn't even close his eyes or bend or anything like that. The Shamus fell on the floor. The Friedrich Rebbe just stood like this, like he always did. If you ever saw a picture of his Malchus, he stood like this, and he didn't even move. So now the guard knew that it wasn't a loaded gun. He wanted to shake him up, but the Rebbe didn't know that. So the guard said to him, "Are you a human being?" He asked the Rebbe, "Are you a human being? What are you? You're not afraid?" So the Friedrich Rebbe said like this. He said, when a person has one world and many gods, so then he's afraid. But when you have two worlds and one God, I don't care. Doesn't mean anything to me. That's what he said. Now you could say a nice speech like that, but you can't fake that business with a gun. He didn't even duck, you know, like he didn't even flinch. What's the nafkah in it? From this world to the next world. So that's how tzaddik lives with that. That's what it means. Ilom chatir b'chayecha. That's bakol mikol kol. And there's no greater bracha than that in the world. And look in the second column of Kuf Yud Ches, four lines down. V'zeh echad ha'kaychis shel ha'or ha'gorl shemitzis mila. Sha'avrom avinu omel kol tishim v'teisha shnoisa of the inyina bris mila. La'amshich ha'kaychis shel mila l'zeh ha'ilom. The inyina bris mila. What's that? That he brought to the world. Kedisa v'chazal kadeshim v'mitzadikim. Shekoyach ha'mila hu l'salik kolor. What does it mean, bris mila? Bris mila means that the covering of this world is cut. This world that we take so seriously, the bris of the baby means it's cut. It's cut away. That which covers the truth is removed. That's the name of the bris. This whole world and all the narishkeit is called an arla. It's called a covering. The bris means the removal of the covering. A goy is called an arl. A goy is called an arl. An arl, and the Gemara says that even if the goy is more sophisticated and more modern, and they give him a bris in the hospital, they have light an arl. A goy, the Gemara says, even a goy with a bris mila is still called an arl, because arl means that the truth is covered. When a person knows what's true, it means bris. That's by a man, by a woman. When a person falls into the lie, that means it's covered. He means that he doesn't see what's underneath. He only sees the covering. Legalis apnimius, that's what bris mila means. To live mit the pnimius, nishmit the chatzonius. It means to live, a person who lives, Avram Avinu gave us bris mila, because Avram Avinu told us lech lecha, and Avram Avinu said that this is not it, and he tore away the covering, he tore away the lie. Ever since Avram Avinu, every Jew could know that this is not it, and not to be depressed, not to get crazy, not to get nervous, not to get worried, because this is not it. And to live with this thought of what? Of lech lecha. Was developed not ice, that the world is fooling us, the world is lying to us. What we see with our eyes is a delusion. Therefore, the baby comes to the world, we right away give him this truth. Means what? When it says, it means that when you have a bris, the Indian of giving a bris, and the Gemara says that all Jewish women are ready, girls have a bris without having to put them through the Agnes Nefesh. So when a person, it says in the Pasuk, it says, Soyed Hashem li yireb ubri soy lahaydiyam, that what Hashem revealed the secret to those who fear Him, He gave us a bris. What's the secret? So the Rebbe is explaining, what's the secret? A Jew knows the secret. A Jew knows the secret. The secret the rest of the world doesn't know. The rest of the world that buys People magazine. the people imagine, oh, this is choshev, this is choshev, this is choshev, everything's choshev, it's choshev, this is choshev, this is malchus, this is malchus. Princess Diana is malchus, this is malchus. I remember when we were in the Bungal Khani, many years ago, and when that chasna took place, and how all the Chassidish women were coming, the taxis to our Bungal Khani, because there were some televisions in the bungalow. So all the ladies were coming to see the chasna, the big chasna. So a great chasna, Nebuch, what became from that, the chasna, Nebuch, the kala, right? The whole, it's all a sheker, it's all chosef. It's all oilam, it's all ha'alama, and that's the site, legalis site. A Jew is site Hashem liyareiv, a Jew knows the secret. Ubri site, and that's the end of the bris. The bris is that the cover was taken off for the Jews. And we know that this isn't it. Va'apnimis v'lizka keseide loyla espatis me'chitzonius ma'atim, and therefore not to be fooled by the chitzonius, not to be fooled by that which is outside. Just another 5 minutes. This is how we should learn the parashiyas of Avraham Avinu of the August Nimois. Avraham Avinu was called a giant amongst men, right? Adam Godel Banokim, the Nichol Bezesh, Adam Cotton, he says a small person, Pachkit mit, sich mit Kitness and Shiftless. That what? A small person, what does it mean a small person? A small person loses himself in all kinds of silly things and small things. He gets involved in all kinds of small things. The Avraham Avinu Nosen HaKoyach L'Kol Yehudi. The Avraham Avinu gave the strength to each and every Jew. So to Kenan Eifheben and Ganson, that a person can lift himself up completely from this world. Remember when the Baruch Shalom gave him the bracha? It says that what? When he showed him by the Brisman Asar, when the Baruch Shalom showed him that his children are going to be like stars, right? So it says in Pasuk, the Baruch Shalom took him a hachutza. What does Rashi say? Everybody learn. Hachutza means above the stars. That's what it means to be a yid. Above the stars. It means vayoytze hachutza. You're not stuck here. You don't have to look at the world from inside. And that's why he brings afterwards, we'll see, that the world is so bitter for those who are in it, but the world is so good for those who are above it. For those who are not stuck in it, the world is a beautiful place. The world is, those stars in Hollywood, those stars, mostly they have very bitter lives, because they're stars in the world. But by Avraham Avinu, Baruch Shalom says, Vayoytze Eisa Achutza, the Baruch Shalom took Avraham Avinu above the world. And he always looked at the world from outside. He didn't get caught up in it. He looked at it from the outside. And the Baruch Shalom gave a bracha to Avraham Avinu. What? That your children should be like this. You should have children like this. You should have Yiddish kinder this way. That your children should be what? Like, not like the stars. It's Vayetz HaChutza. They should be above the stars. They should look at this world from outside of the world, not from inside the world. When you look from inside the world, you get sebrochen by the world. But when you look at the world from outside of the world, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful world. Now, I know it's late. Let's just read Samachay. It's on the next page. The footnote is actually Samachay is on the next page. Kayish Shikashi Yehudi. Look at a marshal he gives. What it means Avraham Avinu to be taken over the stars. Because until recently, nobody knew physically how you could do that. How are you supposed to travel? Our ancestors didn't know what it meant. Didn't know what that meant to be above the stars. What did that mean? So he says, Kashi Yehudi Noisei Abaviron. But when a Jew goes in an airplane, V'ma B'tachutza Me'achalon, and you look outside the window of the airplane, Azayu Raya Eich Sha'akol Ma'ayt Katan, right? You see everything so tiny, it's one of the neatest things to watch. Right? Everything's so tiny. It's always frustrating because when we used to live in Farakway, and I would come back from Israel, I would mamish pass over our house. And I'd say, can I get out? Like, I have to go to Kennedy Airport, make a whole thing, and get home. I would see the house because we were right by the water over there. So this is a person looks like, he says, everything is so tiny. Then you see, when you're up there, you see so clearly. Who? In this world, what are big buildings? Big buildings. Ushtachim gedolim, big pieces of, you know, areas. Kimat le'tayf samokim klal. It's like it doesn't even take up anything, garnished. Nothing. As a koyach hazeh, yesh l'kol Yehudi. Every Jew has the courage to look at the world in such a way. Sheyuchel ha'gbiyas atzma gavoa gavod. You can lift yourself up mamish, like Avraham Avinu chutzah, outside. Achim yikaram, Reb Tzvi Meir says, my precious brothers, hava nagbiyas atzmeinu biyachad. Let us lift ourselves up together. Lamala mikipas erki, above the sky. And he says, listen, he's talking to the people of Chilshus, my brothers. He said, then you'll see that all of the shiflus, all the narishkeit, all the things that are hurting you, all the things that are upsetting you, what he said about you, what she said about you, but this one doesn't like you, and that one doesn't like, this one doesn't hold for me, that one's not marks of you. All of these things are not going to hurt you at all. What you want so badly, if you think if you don't get this, you're going to die, you're going to see it's nothing. Mamish, like when you're in the airplane and you look down, you see it's a kleinekite. Mamish. It doesn't take one day to feel this way, or a week. We have to work on this our whole lives. But slowly, 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 we can lift ourselves up and to see ourselves in such a way. At least, I know it's late, so let me just tell you to fit this into the Maisa that the Rebbe, I told this once by Bar Mitzvah Bocha, that the Rebbe Rav Baruchel from Meshbitz, there's a Maisa Rav Baruchel that was in the middle of the winter, and it was the last night you could say Kiddush Levana, the last night for the new moon. It was already, and it had been snowing for 2 weeks, so there's nothing to do with blizzard, snow. So Rav Baruchel from Meshbitz was sitting Motzei Shabbos, was sitting at after Marv, and he said, or by Malava Malka, I don't know what. And he said to his shamas, go to see the Levana. So everybody knows Levana. It was a blizzard. So he walks outside. He comes back in like another inch of snow on him, and he says, Rebbe, there's no Levana. The Rebbe's sitting there. They're singing a little bit more. The Rebbe says, after a half hour, he says, go, your uncle, outside, see what's with the Levana. Machamel goes out to Levana, comes back, also another inch of snow. The Rebbe Baruch Meshbitz starts to get up and walk back and forth the room, and he starts to say the things, I don't know, we don't have to get into what he said about himself being a Rosh, a nobody, this and that, but he says, but you know that I'm prepared to die for your sake, and how come you're not showing us a Levana, and so on and so forth. And then he said, Yankel, go outside and see what's doing. Yankel goes outside, and he comes back screaming to the Levana, that somehow, whatever, they stopped for a minute, the snow, and a little Levana came out, the moon came, was over there that you could see. So the Rebbe Baruch Meshbitz went out with the Chassidim, and they were dancing over there in the snow, and they made a Kiddush Levana. And the Rebbe Baruch Meshbitz said that the Baruch Shalom said to Avraham Avinu, it says, the Baruch Shalom took him outside, and he said, Habed Na Shemaimah, right? The Baruch Shalom told Avraham Avinu, look up at the sky. Usforas HaKechavim, until Chalispalayim, count the stars. You can't count them. And he said, what? Ko Yiyah? Zarecha. So your children should be. So when we learn Chumash as children, we understand that there should be many Jews like stars. The Rebbe Baruch Meshbitz says, Koye Zarecha means this. Rebbe Yin Shalom, you took Avraham Avinu and you brought him to that place. And you took him to a place where there's no more blizzards and there's no more tsaros and there's no more suffering, there's no more smallness, there's nothing, there's only you. There's that place of Chengiz Kaddish, Shem HaShem HaKem. And what? It's this. Koya Zaracha means that the Rosh Hashanah gave Avinu a bracha that your children should be like stars. What does that mean? It means that no matter how dark it is and how bad the blizzard is, they should still be shining. And I remember I said this to a boy who has terrible learning problems, and it was his bar mitzvah, and you know, when he couldn't learn, he couldn't really do anything. And it was bar mitzvah, and I said to him, you know, I was trying to explain to him that your mamish, he's such a good guy, such a balmidus, this kid. So Murray Dick about me this, and I said to him, a gewaldige kid from beautiful parents, and I said to him, this is the bracha that you got from Avraham Avinu, that no matter what people think and what people say, no matter how bad it looks or how bad you feel, you have that ability to shine in such a way, to mamish, to shine. That's a yid that lives in this way, that's a yoytzei sachutza, that no matter how dark it is, a person can still see the levana, can still make Kiddush levana. If he lives in this way, you're never trapped. So just to finish the paragraph, after Samach Vav, I know it's terrible, I'm sorry. Hashem Yirachem. That's what he says, Hashem Yirachem. Right after the Samach Vav, he says, Hashem Yirachem, Mekol Zeh.
Samachay.
Samachay. No, we finished. I read Samech Hay, so we're on top after the Samech. Yeah. He says Hashem Yirachem back on top where it says Hashem Yirachem. It's like 10 lines up from the bottom. He says Hashem Yirachem because the Humosh Lahavin Latzmeinu Klal Yisrael Hem Goy Echad. He says what? Oh, I know. You're right. We didn't. I was supposed to read Samech Vav, the footnote Samech Vav. I apologize. Samech Vav. Read the footnote Samech Vav in Hebrew. Kashem Istaklam Ayilodim Ktanim. When you look at little children. When you look at little kids that they're spending all the time with Narishka, with Shtusim, they make like a whole big deal of a Dvarm Shal Mabakach. Like Barbies, you ever see that? You have that? Wow. It's like it's an unbelievable thing. And they're making a chasna, all the stuff that goes on. A Dvarm Shal Mabakach, as I may even call Bardas, any intelligent person understands. Shem Yilodim Ktanim. You say they're little children. You understand that an adult doesn't do that. And if you see an adult playing with Barbies like that, you understand he's a little bit crazy. Hashem Yirachem. Right now it's called Hashem Yirachem. I'm sorry, I just finished the paragraph. Then you understand if an adult is still caught up in this and he's still playing with the toys, you understand this? It's a Rachmanis. So Yansin says like this, Hashem Yirachem. Calls the Humashal, Havin, Latz, Meir, all this is a Mashal to understand ourselves. Klai Yisrael, Hem, Goy, Godel. Just like Avraham Avinu was called a giant, every Jew is called a giant. Goy, Godel, we're great people. Kinzach, Oif, Oif, Heiden, und haben die richtige Blick. A Jew can lift himself up and have the right way of looking at things. Chazal HaKadosh of Oyim HaGdara, Odom Godel Hu Samech B'mitzvahs, HaKoyah Shal Godel Hu Tzivis, and what? The Emes, the Cheshivas, when you have the mitzvahs, the real, real godless of a Jew is to know that this is what's real. Not going to work. Not out there. That's, we're getting back to real, the real world. This is the real world. A mitzvah. And live with Pneumius, and to live with Pneumius. B'zeh HaKoyah This is what Hashem promised Avraham Avinu at the very beginning. The very beginning of the Jewish people. I'll make you into a great nation. Making you a great nation doesn't mean that you're going to be the president of the bank. Doesn't have to be. But you're going to be a big person. That means you're a person that could shine like the stars by the Baruch Meshvitz's Kiddush Levana. It means you're a big person that you could be like Avraham Avinu over all those things, above those things. What can Oif Haven, the Baruch Shalom helps us, especially during the time that we read these parashis in Chumash, the Baruch Shalom helps us to lift ourselves up, to be like Gedolim, to be great people like Avraham Avinu. Those are the real Gedolim. The ones who are not caught up in the toys of this world. And you could have someone that might be very, very smart, but if he's still playing with the Barbies, he's not an Adam Gadol. That's not a Gadol. If he's still with the Barbies, that's not called a Gadol. The Chabad Chaim, Reb Moshe, they weren't with Barbies anymore. They were in a different mamish in a completely, completely different place. The Baruch Hashem should help us that we should lift ourselves up to see the way, and to be part of the real world, to see things in a real way. Shkari.